Well, thank you for joining us once again for another Thought for the Day. So as we open our Bibles, let's pray. Our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, as we come to your word, we pray, Lord, for the insight and in wisdom of your Holy Spirit to teach us and to apply your words to our hearts. Lord, show us those wonderful things in your law, we pray, for your glory. Amen. Well, today we're coming to the close of chapter 2, so we're in the first letter of John, chapter 2, and verses 28 and 29. And now, dear children, continue in him, so that when he appears, we may be confident and unashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who does what is right has been born of him. Well, the chapter break here in the first letter of John is not especially helpful because here actually in these last two verses of chapter 2, John is beginning a short new section of his letter which will run through into the first three verses of chapter 3. Because so far John has been focused very much on the life of the believer now, here, coping with false teaching, with false professors, with false Christs, and of our walking in the light and the truth rather than in the darkness and in the error. But now in these verses, John switches his focus to what we often call the not yet, the certain hope which every Christian believer has of Christ's glorious return and the physical resurrection of all believers to reign with him in his new earth in their newly resurrected bodies. And that's the moment that John looks forward to, when in verse 28 he writes of the moment when he, that is Christ, will appear. And he explains that the reason why we should be living in line with the teaching of his letter thus far is so that we may have confidence and be unashamed before him, before Jesus, at his coming. Now, Jesus in the Gospels quite clearly teaches that on that final day, the day of his return, all will be resurrected and all will stand before him, to use the phrase here that John uses in verse 28. And we will stand before him either with joy or with shame, with joyful anticipation or shameful regret. And John's teaching here is so that we might be those who stand with joyful anticipation, not shameful regret. And what John tells us is that our present attitude towards his return will give us a very good idea as to whether or not we will be ready to stand before him in joyful anticipation. And that takes us therefore into verse 29. Because what John is telling us that if we are in Christ today, if we are truly Christ's believers, then, says John, the life of Christ will be producing the fruit of Christ in our lives, the fruit of righteousness. No, not sinless perfection, but the Holy Spirit sanctified life, characterized by what the New Testament calls the fruits of the Spirit. And so if that is, through him, our daily lifestyle, then, says John, we know that we have been born of Christ, born again, born from above, as John teaches Nicodemus in the third chapter of, as Jesus teaches Nicodemus in the third chapter of John's Gospel. So salvation by grace, through faith, leads, says John, to the sanctified life of Christian fruitfulness. And just as apples on a tree assure us that it's an apple tree, so Christ's fruit in our lives assure us that we are part of his tree, that we are born of him, as John puts it in verse 29. And that assurance which John wants us to have acts as a daily encouragement. No, not to self-satisfaction, not to self-congratulation, but to quiet assurance that I may have confidence before him at his coming. because therein lies the true inner peace and comfort of the Christian life. This is the only way in which, as we saw with Abraham, that we can, as believers, die well. Let's pray. Lord, we pray that we might be amongst those who are truly yours, looking forward with joyful anticipation to your return. Lord, we pray that we may do so trusting only in the gift of your only Son and his atoning death for us. Lord, we thank you for these truths. In Jesus' name, amen.